think in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13, it says right there, it says, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." You know, that one right there says, hey, this was written so you would believe. This book was written to show us he's Jesus, and that by believing on him, we can have life. So let's run over to chapter 4. That's where we left off last week. John chapter number 4. Once you find chapter number 4, we're going to start in verse 19. We're going to read a lengthy passage tonight. A little bit of a lengthy passage. I'll read it out, and then we'll go back through, kind of like we've been doing. I'd like to show you some things tonight that God's opened up to me, and I'd like to give them to you. Alright, John chapter number 4, we're going to start in verse number 19. Verse number 19, we're still talking about the woman at the well. I'm going to read through, and I'm going to read down to verse 34 tonight. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Remember, they were talking. Last thing that Jesus said was, hey, you got 5 husbands. The one you're with, he ain't even your husband. And so then she replies with this. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." This is one of the biggest differences between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Samaritans said, "We worship on Mount Gerizim," while the Jews said, "We worship in Jerusalem at the temple." That was a major difference, that she's actually pointing it out to Jesus. We'll come back to that, but let me keep reading. Jesus saith unto her, 21, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Alright. Really quick. We'll do a quick word of prayer and get ready. Dear Heavenly Father, just ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to open our hearts, open our ears, allow us to learn what your word is saying. In your name I pray. Amen. Alright, going back up to verse 19, there's a lot of different info coming at us. I'm going to try the best that I can to present what I've written down. So, verse 19, the woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." She said, I think you're a prophet. I think you're a man of God. I think you've got some wisdom that nobody else has, because they've already been talking. Okay? And she's almost at the point where, hey, I want what you have because you are a man of God. But when she says thou art a prophet, there's a difference. Okay? She's a Samaritan. He is a Jew. The major difference that they have is what she points out. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. She said, the Samaritans worshipped in Mount Gerizim. That's where we believe you are to worship God. The Jews say you are to worship them in the temple. So now there is a conflict of these two religions. Yes, she's saying he's a prophet. She's saying that, hey, you know the word of God. Hey, God may have enlightened you with something or given you a vision. I believe you are a prophet because you've told me that you know about me and I don't even know a thing about you. But This is the major point. So she's trying to see, okay, Jesus, what are you gonna fight back with? Do we worship here? Do we worship in the temple? Because if you say we worship in the temple, then she has a problem with him, because that's not where the Samaritans believe you are to worship God. However, if he says you are to worship in the mountain over here, then we've got another problem, because Jesus is a Jew and he's now telling her worship in this mountain. He's going against, quote unquote, what his religion would say. You know, a lot of these religions have been made up of false traditions or added in traditions. There's different ceremonies that the Jews had to perform. There are different sacrifices the Jews were to perform. And a lot of times they were so focused on that they added their own things to the Word of God. That's why you've got the Jews here not accepting Christ as Christ. Because they said, oh, well, you have to do this, this, and they start giving a list. There's no list in the Word of God. The Word of God said, believe on Jesus, and that is it. There's no list. Even after you get saved, there's still no list on, you have to do this, this, or this, or this. You do what you do because you love the Savior. You don't do what you do because the church said to. You don't do what you do because your parents told you to. You do what you do because you love the Savior more than yourself. You have died to yourself. Paul said he had to die daily to himself. It was a daily basis, saying, I give up my will and I want yours done. And as you do that day by day, you know, you turn the television off and start reading his word. You're going to want to read his word a whole lot more than you want to watch that television. You stop. Go, okay, let's say you're going home and you're sitting down just to take a little relax. You take that time to pray, you're going to start wanting to pray a lot more. You're giving up your own will, and when you do that, your desires start to change as they're being fed. You're feeding that spiritual desire. At the end of the day, God made us to be close to Him. The first relationship ever mentioned, ever made in the Bible, was the relationship between God and man. Adam and God. It wasn't Adam and Eve yet. It was Adam and God. And then God saw that Adam was alone. He said, it's not good. That's the first time God said something was not good. So then God instituted marriage. That's the second relationship between a man and a woman. Nothing else, ever. Man and woman. The Bible says that clear. But the very first relationship is us with our Savior. That is the first relationship. You get that messed up, you get that out of whack, and you'll start going off crazy. Work on your walk with God first. Then you can start working on other relationships. But if you don't have a walk with God, you ain't going to be able to help anybody. Jesus said when he was teaching his disciples in Luke chapter 11, when he was teaching his disciples to pray, they said, teach us to pray. And it starts going through, hallowed be thy name. You go through that, but you keep reading because Jesus never stopped. He said, hey, when someone comes to you at night begging and asking bread, but you tell them, hey, I got no bread, he was literally telling them, that's because you're not asking. That's because you're not spending time in prayer. If you would spend time in prayer and beg God to give you what you need to be a blessing to somebody else, you would have that when they need it. You know, work on your walk with God. It only comes from having that walk with God, from spending time daily with the Savior, loving the Savior more than ourselves. Another thing I was thinking about as they were talking about, she's talking about this with Jesus and saying, hey, we're supposed to worship in the mountain. You guys say to worship in the temple. There's another thing I wrote down, just an idea. When you come to church, don't play the game. The reason I say that is, she's talking about the differences between the two. What about the differences between us when we're at church versus us when we're at home?
So you're saying the mountain is the Samaritans.
The mountain was the Samaritans.
And the temple is
the Jews.
The Jews. That's what I thought.
That's where they believe they're supposed to worship God. But my thought here is, you know, don't change who you are at church versus who you are at home.
Right.
I understand we're not all dressed up, wearing our nicest clothes at home. I get you. When I leave here, I can assure you, I rip the tie off and I go get in some comfy clothes. Okay. But are you being different at church than you are at home? Are you putting on a front when you come to church and just playing a part and then being different when you get home? Who you are at church should be who you are at home.
Yep.
Amen.
There should be no difference. Who you are at home is who you should be at your work. Who you are at church is who you should be out when you're grocery shopping. There should not be a difference. We are to be the light of the world. We are to be the salt of the earth. If we're not, you exactly took it. Your walk talks. Your talk talks and your walk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. So how are you walking? How are we all walking? Are we walking in such a way that we will be able to be ready to give an account to any man that asks for the reason of the hope that is in us? That's the question for us all. Also, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Take a look at this. Colossians 2, 8. Talking about the ceremonies, the sacrifices, the traditions that they added in. Colossians 2, 8 says this. If I can turn with my fat fingers over here.
Yeah,
the fat fingers
I'm trying. I've got some fat ones.
Go eat popcorn.
Well, that's how you do it. Gentiles, Ephesians,
everyone in
Philippians,
Colossians.
Yes, go eat popcorn.
That's good.
Thank you.
How is the GEPC, General Electric Power Company?
Yeah, I got that, but I never wrote it down.
That's a good one. I never heard that.
Yeah, where you gave it to me last week, but I right
go
here.
Eat popcorn. So remember,
go eat popcorn. So you said Colossians.
Yep, Colossians chapter 2.
Right.
All right, 2:8. The Bible says this: beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's what happened here. They were adding all their traditions. They were adding all their ceremonies. They were adding things to the Word of God that you had to do on top of it. That was no. It was, you were to look to the Messiah and trust the Messiah. The sacrifices never saved anyone. They gave sacrifices. They did sacrifice because God told them to, but that is not what saved them. You go out and you take the best sheep that you can find. No blemishes, no things. And you cut it up and you offer it as a sacrifice to God. It's not going to take you somewhere. There was only one sacrifice that would do that. That's the blood of Jesus spilled on Calvary for us. The reason they were to do the sacrifices was to fulfill the law that God gave them. Okay, God told them to do it. Just do it. But it was not the sacrifice. They didn't trust the sacrifice to get them to heaven. They were trusting the Messiah that would come and be as the sacrifice. The sacrifice was a picture. The law was a picture to point us to Christ. These were all pictures to point us to Christ. That's what it was to do. It was not something to keep going on. It was something to stop once the Messiah actually came. The law was written down. The Old Testament. You go through the Old Testament, and it's really interesting. If you ever want to win a Muslim, or you want to win a Jew to Christ, take them to the Old Testament, take them to Exodus chapter 20, and read them the Ten Commandments. And after you read them the Ten Commandments, ask them, is there any of these that you have not followed? Because what it was to point us to the need that we had for Christ. Nobody can follow all Ten Commandments. It is impossible. So therefore, he called it a schoolmaster, and it was only a schoolmaster to point us to it when we needed Jesus. Because you could never keep it. Verse number, back in John chapter 4, verse number 24. So Jesus is talking here, I'm going to read it from 21. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship ye know not what? We know what we worship. The salvation is of the Jews. Sorry, my Bible was split there, so I had to turn the page. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I was just writing some thoughts down here, and it's talking about we are to worship God in spirit and truth. Okay, on Sunday, we were learning from Brother Dennis as he was preaching. He was preaching back over there in 2 Peter, talking about faith is dead without
works,
and vice versa. When it's being explained there, it's saying, hey, you'll know me by my works. It's that your walk talks, and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. It's the idea that, hey, you trusting in Jesus, there should be some fruit coming from that. Even if it's only a little bit of fruit. Even if it's only one verse of your Bible being read a day. That's better than no verses.
Yep.
I mean, even if it's only 5 minutes of prayer, or a minute of prayer, 30 seconds of prayer. Gradually, you keep doing it, it'll get more and more and more. Because while we're here, we're to work on that walk with God. We're to get closer to God. You know, if it's 30 seconds this week you're praying, and next week you're praying for a minute. And the following week you're praying for a minute and 15 seconds. And so on and so forth. You get closer and closer. Maybe you're reading a verse a day. Try a chapter a day. Try two chapters a day. Maybe that's too much. Try listening to it. You can listen to it. You can listen to the Word of God. And there is nothing wrong with listening to the Word of God. You know, a lot of times you can listen to more than you can read.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the same chapter 5 different times, it's getting in there.
Right.
And you know, there have been plenty of times where I used to work a job that I could listen to stuff all the time, and I'd pop the Bible on, I'd download a book for the Bible, I'd listen to that about 3 or 4 times throughout the workday. And some of it would stick. And then they'd be like, oh, that's a good thought. I'm going to have to go back and look that up later.
Right. I find it more functional when I'm listening to also read. Because you're listening and you're losing some.
Yeah.
So, if you read it as you're listening, it like goes into long term, and I don't have any long term memory.
But it is really good. You know, whether you've got to listen to it, whether you've got to read it, whether you've got to do both, get some of the Word of God in.
Yeah.
But looking at how he says you've got to worship both in spirit and in truth, and at any point you've got something to add, Brother Dennis, go ahead and add it. Stop me in my tracks and just yell. You know, you could throw blocks at me too, just like you told me. But
can I have a couple of dozen of those blocks?
But looking at this here, he gives two requirements, saying you've got to do it in both of these areas. And I just broke down, you know, in spirit. The first thing that came to my mind was prayer. Prayer is a spiritual practice. It is hard to pray. It is. Because you are doing something that you are not, that is not natural to you. It is a spiritual, in a sense, a spiritual application that you are now applying. And that's why there's a lot of times where people don't pray. They've been in church for years and they don't pray. It's not because they're trying to be bad, but it's hard for them because it's something different. You've got no power at that point because you are talking to God. Your spirit is communion with God's spirit. It is a spiritual thing. Not to sound spooky and ghost-like, but it's a spiritual thing. God says that is one of the requirements. You're gonna worship God. You've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. In truth, He gave us the truth right here. You know, let's get in it. Let's know it. Let's read it. Let's study it. Let's apply it. You can do all your studying. You can do all your reading. But until you apply it, it's no good. It's that fan. That big old fan behind you guys. I can plug that fan in. And I can wish for it to turn on. And I can stare at it and say, turn on. And I can yell at it and say, turn on! But until I go over there, actually turn the switch, it's no good, even though it's plugged into the power source. That's the same way we have sometimes. We've studied our Bible, we know our Bible, we've read our Bible, but we've never actually used it. Maybe we've never actually gone out and told people about Jesus before. I know I was in church, and I never did that before. I would read my Bible, I'd come to church, I'd help out in Sunday schools, but I didn't know to go tell people. I never did that before. And I started going with people, but I didn't know how. And right. I picked up from them little things here and there. And I still pick things up. I'll try and go out with new people all the time. But hey, I just want to reach the world with Christ. Really quick, by show of hands, has anyone actually gone door to door knocking and seen someone saved or been able to give the word of God? Come next week. I'd like to take a little detour. We'll still stay with the Word of God. I'd like to take a little detour and kind of go through some little step-by-steps of how to share your faith. I think it'd be something that would really, really work good for us. And we do have the Saturdays. We're going to get a time. Me and Brother Dennis go out around 11 o'clock on Saturdays.
To go through on our faith. A lot of times they won't answer the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it won't.
And I was telling Brother Dennis, when I, you know, when we used to prayer walk.
Yeah.
You know, prayer walk. If they don't answer the door, you stand in front of the house and just pray.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know what's going inside that house.
You don't.
But
or they see you and they.
You can still pray.
Yeah. Or they see you and they duck. But so you can still pray for them.
Yeah, they won't answer the door.
Next time you go, maybe you'll open the door for them.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But
keep praying.
Yeah, that's how we used to prayer walk.
Yeah. Well, we'll do that, but I like the idea
but
here.
It's
like
better to talk with them.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah,
if you can't talk to them, leave that trap on their door, pray for them, and go right next.
I like the idea that you at least try to share with us. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
You know,
next week. I'll have some stuff prepared and set up just to give you guys a little insight. Because when When I went soul winning the very first time I did, I said, I don't know what I'm doing. This is going to be weird. But hey, I'll go because I want to share my faith. I want to tell people about Jesus, but I don't know how. And I remember, now I won't do this to you guys, but this is what happened to me. Okay? I rode my bike because I was in sophomore year? Yeah. I was in sophomore year. High school. And I rode my bike up to meet up with the pastor. Because I'm gonna go soul winning. I'm gonna learn how to do this. I don't know how to do this. And I get there, I mean I'm hot and sweaty because I was riding the bike in heat like this. Not exactly humid, but still heat nonetheless. And I get up there and I see him and he's in an apartment complex. And he's kind of standing off. There's a group of kids and he just gathered the kids over and I ride up on my bike. Take my helmet off, get off my bike, and he's over there. He's like, all right, hey, boys and girls, really quick, can I talk to you for a minute? All right, so this guy is going to tell you how to go to heaven, and whoever can listen the best, I've got a picture of George Washington, and he's going to give it to someone that listens the best. And then he's like, okay, let me take the helmet and bike, and he walked off. He walked away from me. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, wait, what? But he gave me one of these. And he said, all right. See the back here? Just go out the back. It has the Word of God. It has the Bible. Now, yeah, it's a tract. It will do exactly what it is. Read it. You can read it verbatim. If you're scared to death to talk to people, I know people. I have taken out many people. I've taken people that are scared to death, that have never done it before, and I tell them, hey, you can go with me a couple times if you want to just kind of learn. But otherwise, it's right here. And you know, this is the thing. Everyone thinks, I have to do it perfect. I have to have it right. Who's doing the saving? You or the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit. If you go in your own power, you will not see anyone trust Christ as their Savior. You go in the power of the Holy Ghost and you ask the Holy Ghost to speak through you and speak to their hearts while you're speaking on the outside. It doesn't matter how many times you stutter through. If they're ready and the Holy Spirit's working on their heart, they're going to get saved. Don't ever think, oh, I'm just so scared I'll mess up. You won't mess anything up. You got the Word of God. That's what you're giving them. God speaks to their heart through it. Honestly, you think about it. You're telling someone to believe that a virgin gave birth. You know how crazy that sounds? Now, to us, it doesn't sound crazy. But let's go to a worldly person that is living for themselves. That's the craziest thing you could ever say. Next thing you're going to say is, water came out of a rock. You'll probably tell them that too. But, I mean, these are some crazy things. But it's the Holy Spirit that works on their hearts, that draws them to Christ. It's not us. If we will do what we're supposed to and share our faith, God will bless that. He'll have the Holy Spirit working on their hearts. Let me see where I'm at. Sorry. Run over to verse number
20.
We were at 24.
We're on.
The woman, 25. The woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he come, he'll tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I will speak unto thee in him. So he literally says, you're talking to the Christ.
It's me.
27 though. This is what I want to show us, and I know we only have a couple minutes here. But we might pick this thought back up next week. But verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what thinkest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The disciples came back. Who did the disciples have with them?
You mean with how many? Four of them?
Who did disciples have with them? They went into town to buy...
Barnabas? No, to buy
food. They went into town to buy food.
Oh, okay.
But they came back. Who was with them?
Jesus?
No, with the disciples. Jesus is sitting at the well talking with the woman of Samaria.
I don't know.
The disciples go into the city and they come back. Do they come back alone or do they come back with people?
Oh, they come back alone.
Why'd they come back alone?
They weren't preaching the gospel.
They weren't telling people. They have the Son of God outside the city. Almighty Son of God. They went into the city to buy meat. That's all they were doing. They were buying food. But they didn't bring anybody back with them. Next week we'll learn who does bring people back. But the disciples didn't. The disciples were walking with God. They were spending time with Him. But they were not thinking of eternity. They were thinking earthly. They were thinking of the temporary. Because they were focused on getting the meat. We got to get the food. We got to get back to the Savior. But they never took the time to stop and say, hey, come see the Savior. Come see Jesus.
They were concentrating on the food. They were
concentrating on the food. And it's okay. Yes, there's times where we're supposed to concentrate on things.
When they did that, they didn't bring anyone back because they didn't recognize
that. Exactly. Even though they were focused on something good, you had it right. They were focused on getting the food. But remember, what's more important? The things of this world or eternity? We got to keep eternity in view. When we're grocery shopping, when we're getting gas at the gas pump, these traps, you can leave them, like, if you fold them up, I found out some really good ways, you fold them up, you can put them inside the card slot, so then someone has to grab that out and then put their card in. Hey, I'm getting the Word of God into somebody's hands. If you grab this out of a gas station and you get saved, praise the Lord, I'm going to be about my Father's business while I'm still here on this earth. You know, Jesus has a work for us. They got so sidetracked at just getting the food that they didn't tell anybody. There's a Savior out here that can save you guys. Regardless if they were racist or not, I don't know. But what I'm saying is, let's not get so busy that we forget what the real importance is.
Because if you concentrate on yourself, how am I going to listen to that person? What are they going to say? Then that's wrong.
And I just want to put it in the grocery bag.
Start thinking about the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to? When we and Brother Dennis go out, we stop in the car and we pray before we get out of that car. And we say, Holy Spirit, guide us to the doors and to the people that you want us to talk to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's been plenty of times where, yeah, maybe it's not a very good door, but we've at least got to get on the track. Mm-hmm. There's been other times. I remember me and Brother Dennis went out over at Lake Station, and we actually got to witness it. And they listened, they paid attention, they wanted to pray at the end and ask Christ to save them, and they did it. Mm-hmm. To this day, hey, I don't know if they're in church, but I know that we were able to give the gospel. They wanted to pray, and God says, if you believe on His Son, that's what takes you to heaven. Nothing else. If they never step foot in a church again, God said, that still takes you to heaven. Because it's not about us, it's about what Jesus did on Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
If we start thinking, well, I've got to do this, and that, no. You're looking for Jesus. Jesus did it on the cross. He paid your way to heaven. Yes, do things because you love the Savior. But don't do things so that you can keep your position in heaven. That's not how it works. Christ died once. He was smitten once.
Yeah.
I know I took a little more time on that one, and we'll pick up the thought next week.
I had this real quick. The Jehovah's Witnesses came to my home, and we tried to start speaking, and I said, look, I am saved. Jesus Christ saved me from my sins. I have been baptized. And I believe in the Holy Spirit and God. And I shut my door on him because he was trying to give me his stuff. He was trying to give me his tracks.
Good way to stop that.
You can turn it
have out. Some of your own tracks there.
Yeah.
I'll take yours if you take mine.
Yeah. That's
what's
good.
Nothing to do with it.
I like that.
The other
that.
Thing too
yeah.
is the more you know your Bible, because I've been taken off the list. They will not stop at my house anymore because I had two of them come up to the door and we started going and it's like, oh boy, he's not someone we want to talk to.
Right, right.
They couldn't get away fast enough.
I don't know the scriptures and I'm like, how do I lead them? And I know some of the scripture and it's like, well, what scripture do you say this? And I'm like,
Or you could take their stuff.
I always take it and throw it away. Take it away and throw it in the garbage.
Ask them to come to church with you. I mean,
right. Hey, you come to my church.
You never know.
Who might be looking for something else. Right. But you are right. Take their track and throw it away.
I wouldn't turn them away because I know I take your track. I don't have to anymore because I don't have a place to open my door for them. When I did, I would always take their track but later throw them away.
Always
tell them to go to church.
Like the disciples. Always be ready. Because you might be so focused, like Ms. Marcus did, you might be so focused on, I don't want what you have, I've heard of that, I believe my thing. And that's good. No, I'm not telling you that's bad. But leave that door open. There's been many a times I've heard many preachers, they left the door open to a lot of Catholics and those Catholics got saved.
Yeah.
It may not happen overnight, it may not happen the next day, it may not happen 3 years from now. But there may come a time, don't always burn those bridges. You don't have to accept their stuff. You don't have to say, yes, okay, what year is this? Just be nice. Leave that door open. Take their track. Give them a track. I like that idea from Brother Dennis, but that's a really good one.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
I had a neighbor out in Holder. She would invite them in.
Right? That's an idea, too.
Well, I guess that's good. But she would invite them in the house.
Really quick, and then
and she must have had the Holy Spirit, and she must have had belief that they weren't going to hurt her. Yeah.
But, hey, you never know. There was a solicitor that came to the door, knocked on the door, wanted to get some signatures, for something, and I walked out, gave her a tract, took her through the plan of salvation, she got saved, and then she walked away. I never signed her soliciting bid. I don't know what it was for now. But I know I said, this is an opportunity. I don't want to get so sidetracked about just getting the person away or just getting my groceries or just getting this thing done that I don't look with eternity in mind. Challenge for all of us. Let's look with eternity in mind. So the next one, close to the word of God.